Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
I'm Johnny Smith.
I'm Richard Porter.
And this is Smith & Sniff, a podcast in which two friends talk about cars and many other things. The Love Shack is a little place where we can get together, I suppose. And the reason why I'm telling you this, and you know this, Richard, which I don't know why I'm setting this up, because I've been giggling for about the last 4 days like a little child, because of our WhatsApp messages. You sent me a picture of the lead singer of off of B-52s saying, if you see a faded sign at the side of the road that says 15 miles to that, and then there's a picture of a really creepy shed that someone's aerosoled fuck shed on the side of with a huge dick and balls. I just can't stop laughing about it. I've been laughing about it for 4 days. Four flipping days.
Have you, we'll put this on the Patreon for everyone else. It's a meme, or meme if you prefer, from, I don't know where, I think I saw it on Twitter. I knew it would make you laugh. I didn't really think it would make you laugh this much, but when I sent it to you a few days ago. Have you also tried to see what it says on the... You can see there's more graffiti on the front of the dismal and sinister shed.
It's a really sinister shed.
What it says.
It says Eat In on the left, and then W plus Best.
Bear? It looks like Bear. I thought it was W and then an arrow down to Bear, but the W could in fact be a crude depiction of some boobs.
But boobs. Oh yeah, boobs are best, maybe. Well, yeah. All we need to know is, and this got me thinking, the days and hours after you would casually WhatsApp this to me. I know I was replying, say, because he says, the chap says, I've got a Chrysler, it seats about 20. Come on, yeah. And don't forget your jukebox money.
Bring your jukebox money, yeah.
Yeah, so, well, I started thinking about appalling Chryslers that you could turn up in, or even Chrysler Group vehicles. You could say, well, look, this is not badges of Chrysler, but it sort of is. And because the Love Shack door woman or doorman might go, no, that's not a Chrysler, you're not coming in.
Yeah.
You go,
it's
come
Talbot
on.
It's Talbot Samba. Now, technically, that's more of a Peugeot or Citroen than it is a Chrysler. Don't come at me with you.
Do you think they're really
corporate
strict?
Euro heritage.
You go, well, look, we've all driven from miles around to come to this sordid, horrible sex shed in a forest. Okay, so don't turn us down now. This is pre-internet era, pre-mobile phones. We're not turning home now. So you've gone for? Did you go for a Talbot or a Chrysler Alpine with the clattery engine?
Yes, very tappity.
so the chat, B-52's going to hear you coming about 5 miles away.
Yeah, well, then they can get the Love Shack ready for whatever they believe they're supposed to do it there. Fred from the B-52's can just touch up the graffitied cock and balls on the outside. But the thing is, because I've got me a Chrysler, it seats about 20. And I was like, well, if it was an original Alpine from the 70s, that would apply because there'd be two parents and then about 18 children just loose in the back with no seatbelts.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's the 70s.
It'd be primary school.
And the parents
school.
Would be smoking.
It'd be primary school party, wouldn't it? And they'd say, yeah, we'll drop all the kids back, don't worry. And you're in the boot of a Cavalier hatch, which is, I remember vividly, I was one of about six children in the boot. And it was so much fun. Luckily,
yeah,
no impact.
I mean, also, it's the 70s, so there's no soft plays. There's no Laser Quest, so they're probably all just going to a local scrapyard to have a play on the stacks of cars or something.
Yeah, with jagged metal, and they'll find real swords and daggers and things and just play with those.
Yeah, yeah.
Or a spud gun.
I do remember that. I remember as a kid going to visit some friends in the northeast in Alnwick in Northumberland, and there used to be a scrapyard near where our friends lived, and then it had been cleared out. So it was just, you know, what we'd call now probably a brownfield site.
Yeah.
And I remember we just, like, rode bikes over there and went and played, because there were still all bits of car and pools of oil sort of soaking into the ground. Glass.
Wonderful. Oh, yeah.
I think that their lad, who's the same age as me, cut his hand on a piece of glass, and we just kind of went, uh-oh, better go home and get that bandaged up. And I think he got a plaster on it, or some stitches, whatever it needed. And then we went back to the former scrapyard site to continue playing with an old alternator. And you just go, not sure I'd have let my kids do that now.
That's what I love about the old times. I do, and I'm not that old, so, but I do.
Don't really start, though, because you sound like one of those awful Facebook memes, you know. Remember when life was better, that they do to apply to deranged boomers.
Yeah.
When they're not watching GB News, they're looking at images of people with consumption going, oh, wasn't everything better in the old days?
So what are you... I'm either going Chrysler PT Cruiser, which obviously seats five legally, to the Love Shack, or if I'm going to just be rebellious, I might pick up another two. So I might go seven.
Are you aware, though, that later in the song, Fred, out of off of the B-52s, says, hop in my Chrysler, it's as big as a whale?
Oh, yes. That's true.
But the thing is, whales are different sizes, aren't they?
Are you going to...
You can get a small whale. If you saw a whale that was legit the size of a PT Cruiser, you'd just go, yeah, all right, that's a whale.
Well, hang on a minute. So if Fred offers you a free lift to the sex shack... thanks, Fred, but no, I'll wait for another car which has got proper seatbelt anchorage points, and also
a kind of Ford GM guy,
and you're smoking weed. Don't really want to sit in the car with you with smoking weed. Smells horrible.
Dwarf sperm whale.
A what?
A dwarf sperm whale is the smallest whale, I think. Dwarfs, certainly one of them, well, according to this cursory search, and it's barely bigger than a person.
Well, if you go to the sex shack and you're driving a car that you describe being as the same dimensions as a dwarf sperm whale, it sounds perfect, doesn't it? You sound like a right Robin.
Did you say sex show?
Sex shed.
Oh, sex
also
shed.
Known as the Love Shack.
Sex show. It's like the B-52s have basically turned the Love Shack into a kind of Cars and Coffee, just with shagging.
Oh, that would be great.
I don't know. I've seen some of the people at Cars and Coffee. I'm not sure it would be entirely great if everybody's suddenly...
Maybe this is where Caffeine and Machine are going wrong.
Caffeine and Machine, brackets, and shagging.
Shagging and Machine? And
Coitus and Machine.
No. Do you know, I always, when I read it, if I'm just feeling stupid, I often go, Caffeine and Machine.
Oh.
Caffeine and Machine. Machine.
Machine.
Caffeine and Machine.
It's like I was in the car last night listening to some podcasts, and there was an advert, I think, for Dacia. I don't know why. Anyways, for some reason, the word, or maybe I was listening to a car podcast, the word Dacia came up. I was like, oh, it's a tricky one, that, isn't it? Because it does sometimes sound like you're being a little pretentious if you say Dacia, but then they keep sort of trying to insist that Dacia is wrong. And I was like, I think I'm just going to split the difference and call them Dacia.
Oh, Dacia?
The Dacia Sandero.
What about the Dacia Vu? There should be definitely a Vu.
Well, then there you go. They've got a new model name.
A Vu?
Dacia.
I quite like Dacia. I mean, I'm in the middle with all this stuff because I've always said Dacia. But I'm a 50-50 Porsche guy, like I've said in previous casts. I just don't know. If you catch me off guard, I'll just say Porsche, and then sometimes people will scorn me, or the comments on YouTube will go, can't believe you claim to be a motoring journalist of some rapport.
Yes, you're worse than a war criminal. All right, calm down.
Exactly. You do get the book thrown at you somewhat. So I'm like, oh, okay.
It's probably one of my books.
Yeah. Yeah, a whole stack of them.
Do appeal to pedants like me. but yeah, I can't get my head around the Dacia one. It's Dacia, I think, from now on. And also, I noticed that because Skoda are laying it on a bit thick now, aren't they?
Oh, they're really going for it, aren't they?
Skoda.
Skoda. I got followed. I was filming day before yesterday. A new car. I was filming in the it was the EV9 Kia.
Oh, yeah.
And as I was talking to camera going through a village, I checked my rear view mirror and there was a bloody 80s rear engine Skoda following me with one of those hacksawed 80s sunroofs that had been fitted aftermarket. And I just couldn't conduct myself properly. I had to just kill
the
cameras.
Did you have to abort the piece to camera?
Yeah, I just went
so distracted.
I just went, sod this. I'm not talking about the Kia EV9. Look at that 80s Skoda behind us with the terrible sunroof. It was really exciting.
Was it a saloon or a rapid coupe?
It was a saloon.
Have you ever driven one of those?
No, I haven't. I've been a passenger in one. I remember the gear shift having a long throw.
Long throw. I drove a rapid coupe once. It was really nice.
I bet it was
in a strange,
nice,
sort of unusual way. But no, it was a genuinely quite charming car. And we had it in for a Top Gear shoot. And I remember James May drove it as well. And we both went,
that's all right.
It's really good, isn't it? It's sort of, I mean, not good. Maybe good is exaggerating. It's old-fashioned, but there was something.
But it felt together.
You know, some cars just have a vibe about them. They're just right somehow. They're comfortable in their own sort of setup. And
yeah,
it's one of those. James liked it so much, he was going, I think I'm going to try and buy that. I'm going to find out where it's come from. I'm going to buy it. And he was badgering the researchers for where they found it.
Oh, if I was May, I would have just bought it at the click. I mean, I did get offered one and I dilly-dallied and lost out because I'm a complete weasel. But
it's funny. You don't see them around,
no,
do you?
No, you don't. No. They were known as the Communist Carrera. And I was I really wanted to get, you know, the Porsche script at the bottom of the door along the sill. I wanted to get Communist written in Carrera script and put it along the bottom of the coupe door because I thought it'd be quite fun.
Yeah.
But I didn't because I didn't end up buying the car because I'm a fool.
Just huge on the boot lid badge, you could have it as a planned economy in swirly letters as well. I'm just going to have a look. I'm curious now to see whether there's any Skoda Estels or Rapids for sale.
Oh, gosh, here we go.
Cause,
well, while you're not doing that, I've made the decision on what Chrysler I am going to the sex shed in.
Okay. Yeah.
It's Chrysler Group, so it's badged as a Dodge. So shoot me, Fred, if you want to. Deny me at the door. I'll find a way in. Don't you worry about that. It's a 1976 Dodge Royale Monaco Brougham wagon.
Oh,
and it's 19.12 foot long. So it's enormous. And the great thing about it, of course, is it has bench seat front. Bench seat rear, and it might, I think it had an optional fold-out seat in the boot. But of course, because it was the Royal Monaco Brougham edition, it came with a carpeted cargo area and lockable compartments, even an underfloor cargo area, making it perfect for long-distance trips carrying luggage for the whole family, or filth to the Love Shack.
I got me a Chrysler, it's got lockable compartments.
Yes.
Sounds sinister, I think.
Contraband compartments, I would call those. It reminds me of that Granada Chasseur barn farm that I did a few years ago, which had the lovely matching luggage set, which is rarer than the actual car.
Now, in my search for a rear-engine Skoda, I've alighted upon a 1991 Porsche 550 Spider replica.
On a Skoda?
It's based on a Skoda Rapid, but it has an Alpha Sud 1750cc engine.
Oh.
Now, it looks tidy.
Yes.
It really does look tidy. And it's, I would have thought it'd be more money. It's near as damn it, 16 grand, 15,950. Interior looks well trimmed, nice seats. I mean, it's the thing that spoils it is that clearly the donor car was on an H plate because it's from 91.
Yes.
And so this car is just wearing, although it looks like it's from the 50s, it's wearing H plate regular registrations. That is one of those cars where just go and get the cheapest three letters and three numbers plate you can find.
Oh, for hell yeah.
And have it black on silver. I know it's not strictly legit, but
yeah,
who's going to stop you? And that would just tidy it up nicely. But otherwise, it looks really good. It looks really good. For some reason, I assume this would, you know, sort of be like a, still be a 40 or 50 grand car, but I suppose it is only really a kit car, isn't it? Maybe it's horrible in real life. I don't know. But
it's always the last details that are difficult with kit cars.
Yeah.
The gauges and the steering wheel and the.
Yeah, the steering wheel is not quite right.
And the posture.
You could fix that. Now, if you're feeling flush and you have £65,000 to spend,
yes,
you could buy a 1985 Skoda Estel rally car.
Oh, my gosh. That would be... Because they were rally heroes.
Yeah. It's one of five cars imported and used by Skoda UK to rally.
Really? UK?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Group A homologation. There's a lot of blurb here. This is all legit. But yeah, 65 grand if you fancy that, which, you know, I think I do. But I don't have 65 grand lying around to buy. My wife's away. My wife's away with work for a week. Now, we remember what happened when my wife went away for a week with work, and I bought
that
a car
bastard
that she
Panda.
Didn't know about and then forgot to tell her about, and then she was displeased about this because I didn't tell her even after she got back. So imagine if she came back and I bought an old Skoda rally car.
That'd be amazing.
I think she'd spot that. Why is there an old Skoda rally car parked outside the house? Right, you know all that work we were going to have done on the house? I'm afraid I've spunked all the money and some. Anyway.
I've just decided, I've changed my mind. I'm going to the Love Shack in a Chrysler TC by Maserati.
Oh!
I've just decided that would be the best thing to do because it had either a horrible 2.2 turbo four-cylinder and maybe a Mitsubishi V6.
Yes. I've got me a Chrysler. It's front-wheel drive and incredibly disappointing.
And scuttle shake is biblical, especially over the back roads towards the sex workshop or whatever you call it.
Workshop?
Yeah, well, I don't know what it's called. The penetration industrial estate. Yeah, let's go over there. Okay, everybody follow me.
Just one more nice rear-engine Skoda, because... Again, now this is £9,000, £9,350. Now it's parked. One of the pictures in the advert, it shows it parked with a Boxster just like yours in the background.
Oh,
so possibly a kindred spirit here. But this is a 1974 S110 LS. So it's the rear engine's saloon, but pre the Estelle styling. It's actually quite a sweet little car, and it's been completely restored.
It's
by
a
the
what?
Sounds of it.
It's a what, Richard?
Sweet, sweet little car.
One can't just say sweet. There's no singular sweet here.
No, sweet, 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 sweet car. Since there was a bit of restoration, blah de blah, and well known in the Eastern Bloc car clubs.
I love a rear engined Skoda.
The final line of this advert says, "It attracts attention wherever it goes and is only being sold as I've bought a modern camper van and I'm away most weekends now."
What? Just it's information. Like,
oh, shit, I bought a camper van. I can't be at home at the weekends. People won't think I'm a camper van person.
Oh, it's because he feels like if he's invested in a camper van, if it's not out every weekend, if the engine ever gets cold, he's going to lose money on it. So he's just got to get his money in, his value in.
Anyway, I'll put a link to that in the Patreon because I think other people would enjoy seeing it. But it's very sweet, 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 sweet.
I've changed my mind again about what I'm going to the Love Shack in. I think it's time for the Chrysler LeBaron convertible, but I'm going to have it specially converted to overland spec because I don't know how far off main roads the Love Shack is. If the terrain gets a bit heavy duty, if it's been lots of rain in the week's work leading up to the Love Shack night. I just don't want to get stuck. The worst thing is you have a great night of lots of fun and frolics and then you get stuck in the car park and you're wearing slippery shoes and you haven't got a coat. So
yes.
I'm going LeBaron overland spec, please, if that's okay.
A LeBaron.
The Lebanon.
By the Human League.
Yes.
Talking, as we sort of were there, about car adverts, I just wanted to very quickly touch on a message from a listener called Will Navesy. Sent us an ad to a Vauxhall Monaro, which has been written in quite an amusing way. But what caught my eye was the opening to the ad. It's on eBay.
I love a Monaro.
It says, "This auction is for my Vauxhall Monaro 6-litre VXR in phantom black, brackets, the best colour."
According to you.
Sort of, I hadn't really sort of, we haven't talked about it, but it's it is exactly that, according to you. It's like, who made you judge and jury about the best colour? But you see it quite a lot.
Yeah.
It's in Illusion Sunset, the best colour. And you go, no, it's not. You think that because you fucking bought it, you idiot.
Yeah, or maybe he doesn't like it and he actually is looking for a yellow one, but he wants to tell everyone that the black one's the best one to get rid so he can buy the yellow one.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you go, yes, it's available in rare spaniel turds brown, the worst colour. Thanks to Will for inadvertently drawing our attention to that one. But yes, it's not quite find another, but I do think best colour is one of those ones you just go, calm down.
I've seen a lot of find another actually recently. Saranoff is definitely about. Yeah, January's pretty a strong time for Saranoff because the cars that are for sale pretty much need to be sold. So
yes,
January, kind of February is typically, you know, a financially taxing time for many. So it's like, let's get rid of this car. Let's make it irresistible.
Now, I was going to say, because actually we do get quite a lot of messages from people saying
we say
found
this.
Find another advert. But we've also, these have been dwarfed this last week by people drawing our attention to the fact that in a weird, weird sort of way in which the world seems to be briefly run by this podcast, the Cause are going on tour with support act Natalie Imbruglia.
This is ridiculous and amazing.
Thank you to everyone who messaged in. There have been a lot of them and all the things on social media as well. Suffice to say, we are aware of this. You said you thought we should try and go.
We need to go. We need to go. We need to borrow a Lexus press car and we need to go.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I think we'll borrow that Lexus sport van that we've been talking about, spoke van type thing. What's it called? The LM?
Which
I keep thinking.
Well, we should anyway, should we? Yes, exactly. We could do. Well, why don't we offer to drive the Cause between the gigs? Because I think you can get a one that's got more than just two massive seats.
Yes.
In the back, so
let's do that. We'll be the Cause roadies.
That'll be good.
No, when they've got time off, like they've got a lazy afternoon, I'll valet the dad's LS400 because that'll probably be on the road by then. And Jim's SC430.
Yes, well, I have new intel on Cars of the Cause from a listener, Stephen McAvoy.
The Cars of the Cause.
Cars of the Cause. We should have a jingle for this.
Rebel without a cause.
I didn't tell you, we've started talking about the Cause. As a mate of mine, back in the 90s when they first became prominent, he heard on the radio someone go, oh, it's a new song by a great new Irish band called The Cause. And he thought, an Irish band called The Cause? He thought, like, you know, C-A-U-S-E, like they were going to be singing sort of radical revolutionary songs. Or at least be a bit, you know, sort
edgy,
of giving a nod to political turmoil like the Cranberries did.
Yeah, but
and then he heard their sort of unique brand of sweet, sweet M-O-R pop music. And he was a bit like, this doesn't sound very revolutionary.
Maybe it is revolutionary by simply not being revolutionary. And allows
Trojan horse of allows very. I was listening to some bliss. Cause while I was walking the dog the other day, and it's very 90s production on a lot of those songs. Isn't
yes,
it? It's like
yeah,
very reminiscent of what Shania Twain was doing at the same time.
Oh, you're the one I want. Ooh, the only one I need.
Stephen, our listener Stephen McAvoy, says that he was discussing the Cause Lexuses with a Lexus enthusiast he knows from Belfast.
Oh, wow.
Who added another piece to the puzzle.
Oh, gosh.
Apparently, Sharon, off of the Cause,
yes,
bought one of the last SC430s.
Really?
She traded in her previous car, a Jaguar XK8, to buy it.
Oh, wow. Okay, so she's a lady of interesting car taste.
I'm going to guess the XK8 was a cabrio. If she's gone into the SC, so she's a cabrio enthusiast.
She is, for all those blisteringly hot Irish days. Sorry, no offence, but
true. It's true.
Wow.
Well, I don't know. I mean, maybe she doesn't. Are we sure that the Cause do still live in Ireland? Is it possible that Sharon has moved to Miami or Los Angeles or Nice or something?
Well, I don't think Andrea lives in Ireland anymore. I read a few years ago that she'd married a chap and was living in somewhere like France. But
Okay.
But again, she's probably got a place in Ireland because that's what you do, isn't it? If you've got the wealth, you try and buy a place in the homeland, don't you? Or maybe she just kips in the back of the LS400 on the drive. You know, she just has a few glasses of burgundy with the girls and then goes, I'll tell you what, look, I know you've got no room, it's fine. Give me that blanket off the sofa, I'm going to go and sit at the back of Dad's LS. Okay, cool.
She lives in Dublin, so...
It's good creative writing material, probably, you know, having a night where you've got to sleep in the back of your dad's car.
Yeah, maybe.
I haven't got any other cause news apart from, I mean, the DMs were just flying about this tour.
So anyway, well, we are aware of the cause being on tour with Natalie and Brulia. It did suddenly cross my mind that as we bring it last week, a listener had said that he was concerned that Natalie was bound and broken on the floor and had, in fact, been subject to a brutal robbery. But I thought, oh, that's nice. She's okay. She's well enough to go on tour with the cause. But I thought, what if it's the cause
they've
left her bound and broken on the floor?
What, you will come on tour with us? You will support us or else?
Well, she's outnumbered, isn't she? Poor Natalie. There's four of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Turn up at her house, come on tour with us. Well, I don't want to. I'm not interested.
Yeah, one of them
coming on tour with us.
She gets battered by a violin case and some drums.
Yes, exactly. And then a flute and all sorts of, all manner of.
Well, we've
all manner of trad Irish instruments.
I don't want
battered
to get
until she's down on the heated bathroom floor going, okay, all right, how many dates is it? I'll see what I can do.
Battered by an Irish flute.
Yeah.
Gosh, okay.
Let's move on and stop talking about the cause.
Well, I was
when we went on about Sade a lot, we got a stinky review from someone who went, this podcast used to be good and now it's just like the Sade fan club. So,
well, don't worry, we're only 27 minutes in. You talked about Vauxhall Monaros. I've just realised the other week, I forgot to mention it, that the Frontera is coming back from Vauxhall.
Yes.
The Frontera.
Frontera.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's been away a long time. That's been away for 20 years, surely. I think that died.
I think it's been away long enough that people have forgotten about Fronteras in as much as they weren't very good. Although they were popular at the time, weren't they? There's a sort of three-door Frontera.
They were an Isuzu,
cool,
weren't they? They were an Isuzu collab, as we'd say now.
It was an Isuzu mysterious utility.
Yes.
Wizard.
Isuzu Wizard.
Because it was the Isuzu MU, which stood for Mysterious Utility, and then they introduced a version called the Wizard. Mysterious Utility Wizard.
I've met a few of those.
Which, you are from Somerset. I imagine they're everywhere around here, aren't they?
I've met a few Mysterious Utility Wizards about. In fact, I saw one walking a dog on a really busy road yesterday coming back from a job. I just thought, this man's definitely going to get run over. Walking a dog on a long lead on a very fast on a 60 mile an hour road, and he had no reflective clothing on whatsoever. And I'm like, you're doing this in rush hour. It's neither relaxing nor sensible. What's going on? Yeah, it's ridiculous.
That is silly.
So the Frontera is back coming back, and I think it's going to be electric. Yeah, it's going to be all electric.
Yeah.
SUV. Looking forward to it, actually. Don't know why, but...
No, I was going to talk about a new car, or a newish, a sort of a new variant, because have you seen this, that the BMW Z4 had previously only been available as an automatic, and then its sister car, the Toyota Supra, they introduced a manual option. I think some people are a bit like, and BMW, you are, and there was no sign of it. Suddenly, the M4 is now available with a 6-speed manual box for the first time. But it's, if you see what they've called this.
What? So,
it's a limited, it's a limited edition, but it's a specific model. If you want the manual box, you have to buy. There's just a model which comes only in frozen deep green paint with a cognac leather interior.
Which is a nice combo.
It's a nice combo, but it's called the BMW Z4 M40i Handschalter.
What?
Which sounds, I'm sorry, like the German word for masturbating.
Did you say Handschalter?
Handschalter. BMW Z4 M40i hand shelter.
So if you want a Manuel three-pedal M4, you have to get it only in one colour.
Yeah, odd, isn't it?
That is a really unusual management decision. But it's funny that you've mentioned...
It's the hand shelter pack, officially. That's what they're saying, but I'm sorry, I just don't understand.
Well, if you turned up at...
£60,675, which is a lot of money for a Z4. I'm just not sure I'd bother, manual or not.
If you turned up at Caffeine and Penetration Machine and you said you've got a hand shelter M4, they'd be like, Z4. They put you right at the front. They go, this guy's got what we've all been dreaming about. It's funny you should mention...
Really?
It's funny you should mention the Z4.
The guy turned up in a Z4 hand shandy. Great.
I went for a run the other day, and the little circuit that I do goes past a Z4 and tucked down the end of a cul-de-sac, a Z8. Is it a Z8?
What, left out in the open?
No, hang on. It's the big Z4, the modern thing that looks... What is it? Is it just the 8 series? I actually forgotten what it is. Yeah. It's a big convertible thing.
Sounds like an 8 series.
Yeah, do you call that a Z8? Or is it just an 8? No.
The Z8's the one that was in that Bond film that got sawed in half.
Oh, yeah, no, it's definitely not the classic thing. It's the modern...
They're very valuable now.
Yeah. I've driven one. Oh, it's good.
Oh, yes, you have. I remember.
It's actually a really cool car, beautifully made. No, the modern 8 series. Well, maybe this is the point of exactly what I'm about to say. So there's an 8 series convertible down there, and there's a Z4 on someone's drive. And I thought to myself, as I was carrying on my run, I thought to myself, if the current Z4 completely disappeared... And the 8 series completely disappeared. Would anyone really give a shit? I'm not sure they would. I'm going to put my hand up and say I don't think most people would give a shit. Because the Z4...
I think you're right.
The Z4's never... I mean, we could say this about the SL, because most people presume the SL's been dead for ages anyway. And it's just not what it should be.
And yet it's sort of back, isn't it? And meant to be sportier.
But it's back and not quite right. I don't think...
I've never seen one on the road. Yeah, and it's not quite right.
It's just
I think you're right about the Z4.
Yeah.
When the Z3 came out, it felt like they were everywhere. It sort of hit a spot in that kind of 90s roadster boom.
Yeah, like a Celica.
The Z3 and the SLK.
Yeah.
And what else was out there? Well, I suppose the Boxster was relatively new at that point. And then sort of lower down, you had the Barchetta and the MX-5 and the MR2 and the MGF. And it sort of... There were a lot of little-ish convertible two-seaters around.
Yeah,
but most have gone by the wayside.
But now, who buys? And I'm not saying they're a rubbish car, because I don't think Z4s are rubbish. But I'm like, they're just a bit of a like, who cares kind of car. They haven't got teeth.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
That's right. And I don't think you see them around very much, because it feels like they've sort of, you know, the Z3, it felt like for a while Z3s were all over the place because people went, ooh, that looks like a bit of fun.
Yeah.
It's a BMW, so I'm sure it's good.
Yeah.
And they weren't mega expensive relatively.
No.
Particularly if you got the sort of 1.8 or the 2-litre one. And then, yeah.
By the
well,
way,
anyway,
if
the
there's
Z4
somebody
hand
listening,
shandy is available now if you want to change gear on your own.
I'd like a hand... I haven't driven, actually, a Supra with the old Manuel three-pedal. I must have a go in one of those, because it's been a while. In fact, the last time I drove a Supra was with you when we did a video, a Smith & Sniff video.
Oh, yeah.
Which is eons ago. Mm. But I would like to... And if someone's listening to this podcast who has a Z4 and you're getting cross now, I would love you to tell me what's good about it, like why you went for
it. Yes, why did you buy that?
And is it everything you wanted it to be? Because I just don't know. And the 8 series, can I just say the 8 series is just a fat pancake of a car. I just got no interest. It doesn't, the styling doesn't look right. It's going to date really badly. And it's a very expensive way to sort of drive around in a car that looks like you haven't decided on what you really were looking for. It's 90 grand, for goodness sake.
Yes, that's true.
Mind you, 90 grand these days is a mid-range car price, judging by today's car prices, isn't it?
That's a well-equipped Golf these days, isn't it?
It is, isn't it? Weirdly. Scarily.
Can I do a little stitch back to last week, but with some excellent information from a listener? At the end of last week's podcast, you were talking about losing your mind and going and buying that Vauxhall Senator Eagle Quest limousine that's currently on eBay.
Yeah.
You haven't?
No, I haven't.
I assume.
No, I haven't.
Okay.
No.
Yet. Well, a listener called Andrew got in touch.
Oh, no.
And he said, my family owned the Eagle Quest Vauxhall Senator limousine. My parents rebuilt many Senators in the late 90s and early noughties.
What?
As a family of six, my dad wanted a car he could drive comfortably, and with four growing teenagers, we needed legroom and somewhere to put our PlayStation and TV in the back of the car, while also holding luggage for weeks away around Europe. So my dad bought this Senator limo with only 30,000 miles. He fitted bigger tyres, serviced it, changed the brakes, and off we went as a family round Europe, across France, Belgium, Germany, Italy, Spain and Croatia. My God!
Really?
What a trip in a big limo.
But with a PlayStation in the back, that's baller. That's proper, like, working class baller spec.
We did many thousands of miles with the three older brothers on the back seats and the youngest in the middle single seat, and the TV and PlayStation and fridge mounted to the half-folded other middle row seats, giving lots of legroom. The divider screen also provided some division between the children and our parents.
I've just gone on eBay and double checked, and it's still there. It's still for sale, and it's 2,395 notes. I would very much like it, but I'm not going to. I haven't even checked if it's a six. I presume it's a six cylinder.
Well, if it is the same one, then Andrew says it was a 3 litre. So, yeah, it will be a six.
It'll be the 3 litre.
I hope it's a six with all of that extra metal.
Yeah, it'd be a 12.
I don't think you couldn't get a Senator with anything less, though, could you? Surely, because they were just sixes.
Were they just sixes, or could you get a four?
Could you
get a big four?
No, I don't think so. Carlton, yes, but Senator, I think, was.
You're absolutely right.
Exclusively a member of the sex shack.
This is perfect for the penetration workshop visit.
I've got me a Senator. It's as big as a whale.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Was previously owned by a rock band, it says. Oh, my gosh, it does say. Previously owned by a rock band. Only 54,000 miles. 3 litre petrol auto. 8 seats in your finest luxury pleather. Wow, it actually does look really good. Oh, gosh.
So I'm not sure if this is... maybe this is not the same Eagle Quest limo as owned by Andrew's dad, but...
It looks clean.
Andrew's left one final piece of information which suggests that his dad really was a bit of a player. He had the ingenious idea of buying a limo as a family car for European touring.
Yes.
But then, Andrew says, my dad part-ex the Senator against a Mercedes CL500... once it was no longer required and we no longer went on holidays together.
Oh, well, that's good car taste.
Nice part X. Yeah.
That's a sweet.
You'd like Andrew as well, because he's got a Polestar too, he says. So.
Oh, sweet,
he's
sweet
got
guy.
Good taste. Sweet, sweet guy, sweet, sweet.
I think I'll just finish this just little conversation by saying, if you type Eagle Quest into eBay, I'm now drawn to the fact that there's a famous book called The Quest of Eagles, and there's also one called The Eagle's Quest. There's two different.
Does it have an airbrush drawing of a Senator on the front?
No, there's one called The Eagle's Quest. A physicist finds the scientific truth. That's the byline by Fred Alan Wolfe. Oh. And then there was a TV drama in the 70s called The Quest of the Eagles.
Oh
well, that's the kind of shit that you tune into for this podcast, guys, isn't it? Guys,
wow.
guys. Yeah, so there we go. Eagle Quest is still for sale. I'm not buying it. unless it drops from the current amount to a lot less. And then,
Man, I love that this is going to be on sale. That car's not shifting anytime soon, is it? Even with us constantly mentioning it, and until you just eventually crack.
If it ends up being under a thou, I'd be salivating, but it's not going to in this particular car climate.
You've been showing some remarkable fortitude recently about cars, because I messaged you last week and basically offered you a free Citroën Picasso.
You did, Ronnie.
You said no.
I would have done if it was in excellent condition, but it sounds like it was hanging rich, to be honest.
No, it's not. It's not brilliant. I don't think it's terrible. I mean, I haven't seen underneath it, but it's got a few dings.
I think all of the warning lights being on were probably the thing for me.
Well, no, I don't know if it's all of them. I can go and find out. It belongs to a neighbour, and she just needs shot of it. And but she did say a lot of warning lights come on. But then she did go, oh, it's been like that for ages.
Could we give it away? Could we give it away in a sort of terrible competition on this podcast?
We could, but we might have to check into our liabilities for doing that, because, funnily enough, on the way home, I had to drive back from London last night, and on my drive back, I was listening to a new podcast called 50 to 70, which features, do you remember last week, we were talking about Enya's cars?
Yeah, Maybach Enya.
Yeah, and because there a listener had sent us... basically a pap shot of Enya's Maybach parked outside a studio in Dublin that was taken by his friend Cormac. Now, it turns out, a very convoluted route, that Cormac has a new car podcast. Cormac's the chap who has a P38 Range Rover. He has several, in fact, as it turns out, and an original Twingo. And then one of the other guys on this podcast was, years ago, before he was on telly, James May gave away a Triumph Vitesse through his column in Car Magazine.
Did he?
And one of the guys off this podcast was the one who won it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But then what's more amazing is that James gave it away, and it was, you know, outside his house in London, and this bloke came over to get it and drove back to, I can't remember, I think Cork or somewhere in Ireland, but with James. Like, James went with him.
What? Why did James go with him?
I don't know. I'm going to have to ask James.
How long ago was this?
What the hell was this?
Late 90s?
Must have been, yeah.
Yeah.
So if James May can give away a car, I'm sure we can. But to be honest, I was going to recommend that my neighbour simply weighed in the Picasso, because I think even though scrap is not super valuable at the moment, I think you'd probably get... Well, 100, 200 quid for it, wouldn't you? I'm not sure.
Yeah, you probably would. But maybe if there's somebody out there that really thinks this is a great idea, you can always email
if anyone,
us and Richard can speak to his neighbour and say, listen, look, here's the saga.
I warn you, it's got that lousy single clutch automated gearbox that PSA did around then.
Oh, you didn't,
I can't remember what engine's in it.
You didn't tell me about that. I presumed it was a manual.
No, sorry. Really selling this car, aren't I? No. I think it's one of those ones where it'd be better off being cubed and turned into washing machines.
I've been offered another MPV, which is extremely tempting.
Talk about this.
No, I'm not buying it.
This is fortitude. You're showing fortitude again.
I'm trying to be good. I'm trying to just rein it all in and improve what I have. I have a fully functioning Porsche Boxster 986, which I'm extremely proud of. I'm becoming prouder and prouder of it by the week. I'm one of those sad people who buys a sort of low-ranking model of car and then tries to convince everyone that it's actually the sweetest spot in the range. I think I'm that guy.
Yes.
I have to confess, it's not a fast car. Someone did tell me this. Because I suppose I've been spoilt by driving many other fast cars with our line of work. I did get in it once warmed up and thought, you know, it's 2.7 flat six. It's going to have to give it some beans, 200 horsepower, just over 200 horsepower. It's not very quick, but it's really torquey. And that's what I like about it. It's got very nice torque curve to it. And that's actually where the joy is for me.
Yes.
Sweet, almost not leaking car. I was going to talk to you about Ford Flexes.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, I mentioned Ford Flexes a few casts ago. I actually can't remember why I got onto that, but then I can never remember why I started talking about things like that. I forgot there was a... Was it... I was talking about... There was a film that I watched with Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg in.
Yeah.
And they both have...
The Good Guys.
This is called Daddy's Home.
Oh, okay.
And Daddy's Home, there's two Daddy's Home. There's Daddy Home, Daddy's Home 2. And they're very good, very, very good films. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the Ford Flexes were used within this film. But
okay.
So one of our star listeners, a chap called Marino Franchitti.
Oh, yes.
He messaged me, good old Marino, and said... Ford Flex, got a bit of trivia for you. Dan Gurney was a massive fan of Ford Flexes. He had several. And
Dan Gurney out of Off of Flaps?
The actual Dan Gurney, like Ford Racing's Dan Gurney. Like,
flap enthusiast.
Flap engineering Dan Gurney. So if Dan Gurney's going to the Love Shack, you knew he was going to go in a Ford Flex. But I'm not saying that Dan Gurney ever went to a Love Shack, because I'm pretty sure that's not his thing. But, yeah, so he was a massive Ford Flex fan, was Gurney, and and used to proclaim this. So Marino told me this. And then, on a slightly different day, the other Franchitti brother, blimmin' Dario, also a friend of our cast here, he said... I can't remember why we were talking about Michael McDonald. Can you remember when we were talking about Michael McDonald?
Oh, ages ago. We were convinced that he had a Lexus SC430. maybe he bought it off the course. Who knows? But he also was forever accidentally sitting on some foldable aviator sunglasses in his Lexus.
Oh, yes, with a crumpled nose bridge. Well, Dario used to live in the States, and one of his neighbours was Michael McDonald. And he said he was a really...
What?
He was a really nice guy. And he said he let me swim in his swimming pool a few times. But he said...
what are you, Dario? 8? Please, Mr. McDonald, can I come in with you?
Yeah, seriously.
We should add that the reason that Dario lived in the States was because he was busy being IndyCar champion.
I know, but just borrowing Michael McDonald's pool.
Why didn't he have a pool of his own? I mean, he was like fucking Indy champion for like four years on the bounce or something.
That's a good point.
Surely that gets you a pool.
Actually, Dario, that's a good point. Is it one of those ones where you couldn't be bothered to like sort your pool out, but you knew Michael's is immaculate?
It's got green stuff floating on the surface. Fuck it, I'll go round to Michael McDonald's house.
I bet you that's what it is. Michael's like pool is always well-maintained, even though Michael can't be bothered to use it, so... That's exactly what's happened here.
Regular listeners will know we don't have guests on this podcast, but we do have a guest exemption list of certain people for whom we'd make an exception. I think that Dario and Marino Franchitti would be on that list. I think together they'd be hilarious.
Yes.
I mean, they'd be good. They'd be good individually, but I feel like together we'd have some podcasting dynamite.
Yes, it was. It's because I put an Instagram story out on the Smith & Smith Instagram where I was singing Christopher Cross, "Ride Like the Wind." McDonald does backing vocals. Dario DM'd the show and went, "Michael McDonald backing vocals on this track was my neighbour in Nashville. I used his pool a few times. Nice man."
And that's fantastic.
And then I went, really? He was your neighbour? Yes. Billy Ray Cyrus, too. He lived beside my favourite road, but I think he got a bit shitted off with me going past in my Carrera GT on straight pipes. I love this podcast.
That's fantastic.
So this is the great thing. So we've got Marino saying that he has first-hand authority on the fact that the wonderful Dan Gurney... was a big Flex fan. He used to flex his Flex. Yeah. and I love that because I still think it is a great car. Sweet, sweet car.
Now, here's a segue you're going to like. Speaking of Scottish things, e.g. the Franchitti brothers, we're doing another live show.
Oh.
And at last, and as promised, it's in Scotland.
Och, I the new.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounded lackluster. I needed to raise that.
It did a little, yes, and also possibly stereotypical. Anyway, Wednesday, the 28th of February. So that's in, less than 3 weeks' time. Wednesday, 28th of February, 7 o'clock, we are going to be at the Eastwood Park Theatre, which is in Giffnock, just outside Glasgow.
And we'd love you to come.
We'd love you to come. Tickets are on sale now. Unusually, the theatre that we're doing this in wouldn't let us sell our own tickets, so that they're being sold through the theatre website because they're grown-ups and they do proper gigs and stuff. So you have to go there to buy your tickets. So, yeah, it's near Glasgow. It's very near Glasgow. And there's loads of parking. There's a bar. I know those two things are not necessarily compatible, but if someone else is driving you, they can park, you can have a drink. We will be doing two podcast recordings on stage with a break in between, and we'll be hanging about and chatting and signing stuff and all the usual On That Live of Things stuff. So Wednesday, the 28th of February, that's...
We'd love you to come along.
Next.
We've been trying to organise a Scottish live event for some time. Obviously, we've given you loads of prior warning. What with it?
Yes, because we're so organised.
But it's... we're going to have a barrel of laughs, obvs. Rich is going to turn up in a Citroen Picasso with all the warning lights on and giving it away.
Imagine that. Oh, my God. This is where we're missing a trick.
Just drive
the Picasso
it
could be the Smith & Sniff tour bus that we're always talking about.
Or maybe, maybe this is the perfect excuse to get the Eagle Quest limo.
Oh, God.
If it was owned by an ex-rock star, maybe it needs to become rock and roll royalty again and... No, not really.
Leave it black, but for a Smith & Sniff touch, we could just spray one of the back doors yellow. Maybe not.
I'd like S&S crests
anyway,
on the doors.
It's unlikely that either of us will turn up in an Eagle Quest limo, but you never know. If you, as a listener, turn up in an Eagle Quest limo, the drinks are on us.
Yes, they absolutely are. So we'd love you to be there. We will put all of the details of this on our website, which is smithandsniff.com, and also in the show notes.
On the socials.
And while I've got you on the show notes and all that jazz and all that, remember to, if you like this podcast, which for some absurd reason you might, leave us a star rating. Apparently it's a good thing to leave a star rating. Mm. And if you've got nothing good to say, don't write anything. If you've got something good to say, write it. How's that? Is that manipulative?
God's sake, fairer than that.
Or just leave a 5-star rating and just write Eagle Quest 5 times. And if everybody does this, it will start to look like a cult, and then alarm bells will be rung. Eagle Quest.
Before we end, I have been meaning to remind you to tell everyone about the Night Lewd.
Oh, the Night Lewd.
Yeah, I've had it in my notes for weeks after you told me about it. And I was like, I've got to remind Johnny to say about Night Lewd.
Well, I think it's probably easier to... I left you a voice note, didn't I, that I quickly activated on the Bluetooth.
Yes, you did.
While I drove. So it's probably better to play the... Could we roll the tape?
No, because that was weeks ago. I'll never find it. That was like about 4 weeks ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'll find it.
Will you?
Yeah,
If you can find it, then we're all good.
Because I actually can't remember the exact saga. All I know that I'm...
How long do voice notes keep for, though? That's the only thing.
Oh, they keep for ages.
Do they?
Yeah. Unless it's like Snapchat, where you, I don't know, send a picture and it disappears after 10 seconds. It's not like that, though. Not like that.
Well, okay.
Yeah, you'll find it.
Okay, I think I found it. I found it.
It'll take me weeks to find it. Oh, I've just found it instantly.
All right, well, I forgot about the search function because you left the message and I wrote back Night Lewd in big letters and that's stuff. I was able to search that. You can't search voice notes. It's not that clever. All right, so here's the note that Johnny left me about Night Lewd.
I can't believe it, yeah. I'm driving back here in the Porsche, yeah. Like, not hanging about. And in the fast lane, a car comes by, yeah. Like I've just like pulled over, eating like some sort of sandwich or whatever, and it's a fucking Prelude, yeah, silver R edge with like Tokyo Underground like handle swinging under the exhaust, fucking not hanging about, yeah, like really on it. It's just fucked off. It's gone, yeah. Almost like when you know, like a shooting star, like goes through the sky and then bang, it's gone, yeah? Like that. just the same.
Night lewd.
Magical.
Dead.
Just magical.
It was. I get a lot of messages about lewds, and we still don't know where the one from Calvin Harris's music video has gone. I'd like Calvin to actually buy it.
Oh, it was on eBay, wasn't it?
Yeah, Calvin should just buy it, because he doesn't need to sell anything, because he's sort of like the richest DJ that's ever lived. So
it's true.
I feel like he should just put a few grand into it, get it up to a really clean standard, and just dick around in it. If you're listening, Calvin, that's my best advice. and also, you can borrow an Eagle Quest anytime. If I buy one, you can borrow it anytime.
With any luck, Dario will have lived next door to him in Vegas for a while and used his Steam room or something, and he'll be able to get a message.
Actually, that's true. Calvin. Dario Marino, I know you, you're probably busy, but why don't you come to this Scottish Smith & Sniff? And all means, go halves, or let's go four ways on an Eagle Quest Senator. How about that?
With straight pipes.
With straight pipe senator.
Yeah. Drive it past Billy Ray Cyrus's house. Right. We should wrap this up. Good. But before we do, I have three things to tell you. They are, one, Johnny has a solo YouTube channel. It's called The Penetrate Cake Show, in which Johnny attempts to recreate that scene from American Pie, but with a series of gatto. If that's not to your taste, and God, I hope it isn't, then there's always The Late Break Show. Lots of excellent videos on there about cars and people who love them. What have we got on the air at the moment?
Got something special coming up for you that will have just launched when you listen to this. I get to drive the unicorn of the Citroën 2CV world. I finally get to drive a Citroën 2CV Safari, the twin-engined 4x4. Factory version of the De Chevaux. And let me tell you, the gearbox is challenging.
perhaps you could buy one and retrofit the single clutch automated system from a scrapped Picasso. Might be able to help you out there.
That's a fantastic idea. But no, I got the opportunity. It's easily a 200 grand 2CV these days in immaculate condition.
Crikey.
So very, very desirable. There's a lot of barn finds. I do two a month, I think, at the moment. Yeah, it's tiring. It's tiring.
Those barns.
No, I'm not.
The second thing I've got to tell you is something that I literally just told you about 5 minutes ago, but it's that we are doing a live show in Scotland at the Eastwood Park Theatre near Glasgow. It's on Wednesday, the 28th of February. At 7 o'clock, we hope to see you there. Tickets on sale. We put the links all over social media because they're not through our usual ticket source for this one. The tickets on sale now. Hope to see you there near Glasgow in a couple of weeks or so. And the third thing I've got to tell you is, you know Angostura bitters? You know that stuff that you put in certain cocktails? An old-fashioned is often made with Angostura bitters.
No.
You see it behind bars all the time, and it's distinctive because the label is too big for the bottle.
Really?
That stuff. And it always looks a bit shit when then the top of the label gets all crumpled around the neck.
Okay.
And it's a bit weird.
Yeah.
Because you go, why is the label too big for the bottle?
Is it like an NBA suit that's just way
too... It's an NBA suit, yes.
That's a label for a bottle.
Angostura Bitters is... It's a drink or the mixer that wears an NBA suit around its bottle. It's because two brothers inherited the family firm and decided to redesign the product. And so the story goes, one did the bottle, one did the label. They forgot to compare notes on the sizes of these things.
What?
And so the bottle ended up too small for the label, or the label too big for the bottle. And they decided to go with it because they entered a competition for drinks. They lost. But one of the judges said, you should keep your label because it's distinctive. So they did.
That's cool.
And now, behind any cocktail bar, you will see this yellow tops bottle with this ridiculously oversized label that's too tall for the bottle and then gets all crumpled.
I think I'll sign off by saying, I know that the Cause are on tour and they've got a supporting act that's Natalie Imbruglia. But if they want another supporting act, which would be quite dismal, frankly, and not musical... although we could play some music potentially, Smith & Sniff welcomes the services to attend multiple gigs at this particular tour, and honestly, the DMs are relentless with Cause material at the moment. Someone's just said to me that Jim Cause Twitter feed, the photograph in his Twitter feed at the top, you know, his signature avatar, whatever you want to call it, is him sat in an SC430 with shades on.
Bloody hell.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? Amazing.
Oh, my God.
I want to know if it's straight piped.
The man's obsessed.
I'd like it if Jim straight piped it.
Well, if he hasn't, I'm sure Dario could hook him up with whoever did the pipes on his Carrera GT, and then they could both go around to Billy Ray Cyrus's
house. Maybe Dario does it himself, just gets under there. He probably nicks the catalytic converter while he's there. He takes that, weighs it in, and then goes, look, it's straight piped. Yeah. Don't worry about that light on the dash.
Or
yeah, it's fine.
Bit of piping, yeah. Right, well, that's that for this. We'll do it all again next week. But until then, thank you ever so much for listening. Goodbye.
Thank you. Cheers, mate. Thanks, mate. Bye. Cheers, mate. Thank you.
Mugs, T-shirts, stickers. Mugs, T-shirts, stickers. Mugs, T-shirts, stickers. And now we do hats too. This may come as a surprise, but Smith and Sniff have merchandise. You won't believe your eyes. Smith and Sniff have merchandise. Sadly, we don't do pies, but Smith and Sniff have merchandise. One day we might sell ties. Smith and Sniff have merchandise.
Free lift to the sex shack.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.